If you're on the edges of faith, or if you're ever considering following Jesus, the most important question you can ask is, what do I do with Jesus? What do I do with Jesus? I mean, think about it. Jesus was a man born in an obscure village. He worked as a carpenter until he was about 30. Then for 3 years, he became an itinerant preacher who suffered through a painful capital punishment from Rome. He never owned a home. He never wrote a book. He never held a political office. He never had a family. He never went to secondary education. He never traveled more than 200 miles from the place that he was born. There's no audio or video recording of his teaching, but it is actually incomprehensible the impact he's made. Now, of all the governments that have ruled, of all the armies that have fought, of all the kings that have reigned, none of them have affected humanity more than Jesus. And after his baptism, even secular historians confirm that in the summer of 29 AD, he started his ministry. If you have your Bible or mobile device, please turn to Matthew chapter 4. You will want to follow along today. Matthew chapter 4 is in the first year of Jesus' ministry. He'd already recruited two sets of brothers, James and John, and then Andrew and John, or James, sorry, James and John, and Peter and Andrew to follow him. And in Matthew chapter 4, he tells us what it would look like to be in the kingdom of God. This is his first year of ministry. In verse 23, it says, Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And since there was no news crews and no video and definitely no TikTok, he traveled from place to place. And I believe that everywhere he traveled, all throughout the Gospels, Jesus would share some variation of what you and I would call the Sermon on the Mount. This was the sermon that he gave his followers. This was their marching orders. And to confirm that he was from God, and to confirm that he had the words of life, and to confirm his message, he healed. In fact, it was that ability to heal that caused people to lean in. I mean, who in that day could cure leprosy, heal the paralyzed, raise the dead if they were not God? And Matthew says it this way, and he healed every kind of disease and illness, and news about him spread as far as Syria. Now, the distance between Galilee and Syria is about 500 miles, a journey that would have taken 18 days of travel just one way. And people soon began bringing to him all who were sick, and whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed or epileptic or paralyzed, he healed them all. Large crowds followed him wherever he went, and people from Galilee and the 10 towns in Jerusalem and all over Judea and from the east of the Jordan River came to gather. And in Matthew 5, Jesus proclaims this upside-down version of the kingdom. And here at Victory, we believe that the Word of God is alive, that the Word of God is moving and active. So today, we're going to let the Word of God speak. We're going to let the Word of God move in our hearts and in our lives as we hear the most famous sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus gives his followers some insight to the kingdom of God. It says, one day he saw the crowds gathering, and Jesus went up on the mountainside and he sat down, and his disciples gathered around them, and he began to teach them. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. And God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. And God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. And God blesses those who are merciful, for they actually will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. And God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called children of God. And God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. And God blesses you when people mock you or persecute you or lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. You are the salt of the earth. But what good is the salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It'll be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. you. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on its stand, where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father.
Jesus continues in his sermon. He says, "Don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. I'll tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. So if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys God's law and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. But I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You've heard that our ancestors were told, 'You must not murder. If you commit murder, you're subject to judgment.' But I say, if you're even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you're in danger of the fires of hell. So if you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Instead, go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. When you're on your way to court with your adversary, settle your differences quickly. Otherwise, your accuser may hand you over to the judge, who will hand you over to an officer, and you'll be thrown into prison. And if that happens, you surely won't be free again until you've paid the last penny. You've heard the commandment that says, 'You must not commit adultery.' But I say, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So if your eye, even your good eye, causes you to lust, gouge it out, throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for the whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your hand, even your stronger hand, causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. You've heard the law that says a man can divorce his wife by merely giving her a written notice of divorce. But I say that a man who divorces his wife, unless she's been unfaithful, causes her to commit adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman also commits adultery. You've also heard that our ancestors were told, 'You must not break your vows. You must carry out the vows you make to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not make any vows. Do not say 'by heaven,' because heaven is God's throne. And do not say 'by earth,' because the earth is his footstool. And do not say 'by Jerusalem,' for Jerusalem is the city of the great King. Do not even say 'by my head,' for you can't turn one hair white or black. Just say a simple 'yes, I will,' or 'no, I won't.' Anything beyond this is from the evil one. You've heard the law that says punishment must match the injury, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. If you're sued in court and your shirt is taken from you, give your coat too. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. Give to those who ask, and don't turn away from those who want to borrow. You've heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you're kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even the pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you'll lose a reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do it as the hypocrites do, blowing your trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I'll tell you the truth, that is all the reward they're ever going to get. But when you pray, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you. Pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask Him. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Okay, I want you to say that with me, church. Here we go. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
I love how Jesus continues on with his Sermon on the Mount, saying, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. And when you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that this is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face, then no one will notice that you are fasting except your Father, who knows what you do in private. And your Father who sees everything will reward you. Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store up your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light to your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. That is why I tell you, don't worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than clothing? More than food, or your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Why do you have such little faith? So don't worry about things, saying, what will I eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow brings its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Don't judge others, Jesus continues. And you will not be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about the speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, "Let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye," when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They will trample the pearls, then turn and attack you. Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? Do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few find it. Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes? Or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so can you identify people by their actions. Listen, not everyone who calls out to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, "Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and prophesied many miracles in your name." But I will reply, "I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws." Anyone who listens to my teachings and follows my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the flood waters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey, it is foolish. Like a person who builds on sand. When the rain and the floods come and the winds beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. And when Jesus had finished these sayings, The crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike the teachers of the religious law.